I feel like this is good theme music for Sean. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 the game here on this Friday. Predators win 4-2 last night at Bridgestone Arena against the Chicago Blackhawks. We say hello to Sean Henry, the CEO of the Nashville Predators. This is a good walk-up song for you, Sean.
You know what? Any walk-up music is good because it means you're walking up.
That's true.
Funeral music.
That's true. So. That is a very good point. Fun one last night at the home barn after almost 3 weeks off, and get the 2 points, which you obviously love to see that.
You know what? The Olympic break was awesome. Some great hockey in there, but my gosh, that's a long time to go without Preds hockey, man. I did not love it, but the Olympics were so great. And how about, you know, both the men and the women winning gold and overtime? What a great tournament.
It was. And as someone that, you know, has worked very closely with the NHL and with Gary Bettman, I mean, I think everybody knew that the NHL players needed to be back in the Olympics. There were a lot of factors in play, but they finally go back. And I think everybody got what they truly wanted with this tournament that ultimately resulted in the Americans winning it all.
Yeah, I will tell you, if I have a simple fix, you know, for the debate on the Olympics, we should just go back to the Summer Olympics. Like the very first time hockey was a sport in the Olympics, it was the Summer Olympics. You're not shutting down the season. It's a great preseason tournament, just like the World Cup of Hockey was. Our guys are fresh. Everything is good. You're not taking a three-week break. So let's just make that change. Make it happen there, Czar.
I'll see what I can do.
He's too busy worried about a video game about wrestling, Sean, so don't worry.
That is so funny. And that, you know what else I'm excited about? Chase has finally discovered MTSU hockey, which I was just so happy you brought it up to me today, because what they're doing over there for club hockey is incredible. I mean, they're one of the elite teams in that world. So it's fun to have them in our backyard.
Yeah, and, you know, it kind of leads into, I'll always ask you, hey, when's the next Ford Ice Center? And that's usually right after the one you just opens. And you always tell me, oh, you can't enjoy this for a second, but, you know.
Well, I remember at the All-Star game in 2016, it was the Friday before the All-Star game, and said, when's the next time we're hosting it? I was like, Sunday? It's like the seven deadly sins all living in 102.5's walls. Gluttony, you know, pride.
Yep, right, just me. And Chase is always asking how you became, you know, so important to the Nashville Predators. I'm like, things like that, Chase. Sean Henry's on the forefront of all that stuff.
Oh, that was a kind thing. I was waiting for the insult to come.
No, I thought you hung up, so I was waiting to hear that right there. Listen, I think it's a great listen. You guys don't have to do this, but we found out that MTSU is playing at Bridgestone versus Vanderbilt next week, and look, this doesn't happen at every arena in America, and the fact that you guys are doing this and welcoming that in there, I mean, you talk about growing the sport of hockey. That's growing the sport of hockey.
No, it really is important, and there's something unique and special about playing where the Preds play. Whether you're a six-year-old kid or a 22-year-old college student who are working a little bit harder to play the sport they love without scholarship, all the effort and work is there without the financial reward. So I think it's important to let that happen. With that said, we do use the building so often that I think some kids take it for granted that, ho-hum, I'm playing where, you know, Steven Stamkos plays. And I know the three of us would have done anything in the world to have played on a major league field, court, or ice when we were 8, 9, 10 years old, or 22 years old. So I love that we can do it. I love when the schedules work out, and it's a lot of fun. But I will tell you, I got a call from a guy yesterday angry that he's skating on Saturday on our ice at Bridgestone Arena, D-League hockey, which I love. We're using it for that, too. Any lover of the sport is a fan. You know, I become a fan of theirs. He was upset they weren't allowed to bring in their own beer and chairs. And I was like, my gosh, let's find more things to complain about. Now he's going to call me back and start screaming again.
So. Well, just give him Chase's number. Chase is the hockey czar. You talk about an ass whipping. There you go right there. Listen.
You know what? I'm going to change my auto signature to Chase's cell phone.
There you go.
Right. It's not
why
like,
am I getting all these calls?
Chase already got 18 jobs here. Give him another job. It doesn't matter. Hey, listen, you know how much I love you and I love the hockey team, but what's happening Monday shows how much awesome Nashville Predator hockey has grown. Now, You explain it. You guys are playing the Red Wings, but it's being broadcast to Europe. First time ever in primetime?
Yeah, so when we were over there this past November, you know, playing in Sweden, we were at the league and we're brainstorming different ideas. And weekend sports in prime time over there are often lost to other passions that they have. On Sundays, there's not a whole lot of sports on TV. On Saturdays, a lot of football and or soccer being played. Then that's when we normally do our games that are over there when we're there. And then obviously when we play an afternoon games on a Saturday, it's prime time there, but it's lost among other sports. So we came up with this idea, sitting together, that let's take a Monday, Tuesday, or Wednesday game, play it in the afternoon, and broadcast in prime time in Europe to really expand the game, take advantage of what we created in Stockholm, what the Olympics just did over there on the international stage, and get more teams doing that more often throughout the year. We didn't plan this before the season started. We did it in season, but it just shows how great our fans are. I mean, Monday's, you know, it's going to be a sold-out crowd. It's going to be big. Some people won't be able to make it. They'll reuse their tickets for another game or give them to somebody else. But my goal is in next year when we get the schedule, we announce we're playing this one or two games as a field trip day for schools or a businessman special. And it's funny, someone told me why we couldn't do it, because you play sports during the day, no one can come. I said, well, except for the Cubs for 81 times a year, you know,
right,
for 70 years. And if you make it unique and special, people will show up. And I'm just so grateful to our fans who, instead of screaming and yelling that, yeah, don't you know I'm working that day? You know, we've had probably 300 tickets exchanged for other games. I bet there are another 500 or 600 people that have given their tickets to someone else to use for the day. But more importantly, there are some people just playing hooky that day, and that's a better day.
Oh,
so I'm excited about it. I'm also excited about being the first team to be showcased in prime time during the week in Europe. And for the Red Wings, it was easy. It becomes an easier travel day. For us, you know, we took a little risk there, but we did it because our fans are so wonderful. We can do things like that and try things. Maybe it fails, but I think it's going to succeed.
I know it wasn't you. Who's the genius that came up with PTO, meaning Preds timeout?
Time off.
Time off.
Time off.
Sorry.
You know what? Success has many a father, so I can point to about 13 people in a marketing department. But I hate the term PTO. When I hear a 24-year-old kid talk about, yeah, I got to manage my PTO so I can blah, 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 blah. I'm talking about my own kids, by the way. I'm like, I don't want to hear about your PTO. So when they came up with this, I think they were kind of mocking me and playing to me. And I think it's awesome.
Oh, yes.
I really do. It's fun.
Predator CEO Sean Henry is with us. A week from today is the NHL trade deadline. And look, there's going to be a lot of discussion about a lot of teams, because if you look at the standings, there are a lot of teams that are in the thick of it, including the Predators. How do you view the deadline and working with Barry on this, as he will obviously be running things with the deadline? What are some of those conversations like starting now and leading up to the deadline next Friday?
You know, it's funny. I think every year, as our league gets a little bit more competitive and there are more teams just a handful of points in or a handful of points out, and I think this year it's a record number, and I think I've said that every year for the past 4 or 5 years, there are about a third of the teams out there that literally are saying the same thing we are. We're not going to decide what happens at the trade deadline. Our locker room does. And, you know, I said coming out of the break, the next four games are going to be really important. We won last night. We play tomorrow in Dallas on the mom's trip. I like our chances there. And then you play back-to-back Monday and Tuesday. And, you know, the games Monday and Tuesday are against teams deciding what they're going to be as well. So very, very fun games, very important games. But, you know, obviously we're listening to things. We're probably not going to mortgage the future to go all in to make a big jump. At the same time, there might be some moves we should make to make sure we're preserving the next season and beyond. But it is fun when your team decides what happens, and that's what we're seeing right now.
Is it, you know, and you can kind of take this as not necessarily the position you're in, but, you know, in hypotheticals of what you've seen in your career, is it tempting sometimes one way or the other to, you know, make the move to get the guy that you think is the one piece you're missing, or on the other side, make the move for a guy that's on your team knowing that you're going to get a ton of draft picks, but ultimately when you kind of stand back, neither one of those are really going to do you the good that you might at that point in time think that it might?
That's a whole lot of word salad.
God, right?
I'll tell you.
Should have put that in a tweet.
If I just feel like if you're in those top six positions and you're solidly in and your team is kind of on that up cycle, meaning you know, you're taking those steps forward, then it's easier to mortgage the future, but
yeah.
You know, move some draft picks to bring in that missing piece, whether it's a guy coming in on an expiring contract or a guy with a year or two left. So it really depends where your whole team is cycle-wise there. A lot of teams have made a lot of mistakes over the years thinking they were that team and going all in, and then you pay the price for years to come. I've been part of those teams once or twice. At the same time, I've been the beneficiary of it once or twice as well by you know strategically going all in. Maybe you don't win the ultimate prize, but you added some pieces that really helped elevate your team. But it's always interesting to see what type of a guy is going to put you over the top. Sometimes, you know, it's the fifth D or, you know, bottom six winger or depth center. And then sometimes it's just an absolute superstar you're bringing in. I always think, though, if you're bringing an absolute superstar into your team, the earlier you do it, the better it is so everyone can acclimate. But it is always fun, depending on what you're doing. But I would say, like, people forget, when you look back on it, I heard someone knocking the Tigers for trading John Smoltz for
Doyle Alexander.
Yep. To me, that was the smartest trade in the world for both teams because it got the Tigers into the playoffs that year. That's what they had to do. They weren't going to be in their window when Smoltz became John Smoltz. So it's funny now how people look back on that, like, look how dumb the Tigers were. Well, it got them in the pennant. Like, I thought it was a genius move then, and it really worked out well for the future of the Braves. And I like when those things happen. You look back 10 years and say, wow, it worked for both teams.
Well, Sean Henry, Nashville Predators, is with us. We had our topic we had the last hour, and we had a ton of phone calls and messages about this. Careers that were stopped because of an injury or something tragic. You had called in one time. We talked about the career that Thurman Munson would have had he not passed away in a plane crash. You grew up a Yankee fan. You know the impact of him. How good would Thurman Munson had been had he lived?
You know, it's funny. I really get disgusted when people say, well, he was almost done. He was playing left field and first base and blah, blah. When he died in August of 1979, I think he caught like 90 games already at that point. I mean, he was still the premier catcher in the American League without exception. I mean, he won the MVP in 76. He had 100 RBI, 76, 77, 78, I think. He batted 300 most of his career. His rookie of the year, if he played an extra 3 or 4 years as a catcher and then 3 or 4 years as some catching, some DH, some wherever else, he's a surefire Hall of Famer. I mean, that guy was a winner and a leader. But when I hear people talk about, like, well, he was on the decline, I would take his 79 numbers over almost any other catcher in baseball history, you know, save obviously a few exceptions. And as a declining player, which whoever says that doesn't understand baseball or didn't ever look at his numbers. But he was playing in an era with Johnny Bench kind of crowning. He and Carlton Fisk were the premier catchers after them with Ted Simmons. I think the guy's career that got hurt the most with injuries, though, more so than anyone else, was probably Freddie Lynn and Mickey Mantle because of the way they both played and the wear and tear on their knees. If they're modern players today, they don't have those injuries that delay their career. You know, Mickey Mantle will be the greatest baseball player ever live.
Sean Henry is with us. Before we let you
by the way, that's why everything in my life is number 7.
Yeah.
I'm a little biased there.
Yeah. Well, I use number 3 because of Dale Earnhardt.
All right. And Chase has had a 7-minute question to you too, Sean. So
yeah,
it all works out.
I did. Thank you for that.
But I thought it was number 3 for Dale Murphy or Babe Ruth.
That's me. Whatever. I'm the Dale Murphy guy. I'm number 3. I love Dale Murphy.
Yep.
That was a guy that I think has gotten shortchanged by history too. I mean, back to back MVP. What is going on? He should be in the Hall of Fame.
100%. 100%. Sean, appreciate it as always. Have a great weekend, and let's get a couple more points tomorrow night in Dallas.
Hey, remember, it's the Mother's Trip in Dallas, and I think we're undefeated on Mother's Trips. Not jinxing it, but that's always a fun time for the players. It really, really is.
It's a cool thing that you all do. Thanks, Sean. Appreciate it.
And we're on Channel 5 tomorrow night, so tune in.
Oh, yeah. TV. Okay, cool. We will pass that word along.
Anything else you want to plug real quick?
Well, Chase, just let Nick Barnowski know, because I know he's not listening, that I hit all the points I think he wanted me to. Except he doesn't love Thurman Munson as much as I do. He would say Kirk Gibson was shortchanged with career-ending injuries.
I will let Nick know, and he does a great job giving us those copy points to hit with you.
All right, guys.
Thanks, Appreciate
Sean. You guys. Have a good weekend.
You Bye. Too. Sean Henry, CEO of the Nashville Predators, joining us here on the program. We'll come back, wrap up the week with What Day Is It? And celebrity birthdays. Everybody's favorite, even you. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game.